Okay, well, turn your Bibles here to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and verse 11 and following here, maybe some in the beginning of the chapter, but fighting the good fight of faith is a topic I'd like to speak to tonight, fighting the good fight of faith. And as people and men and women of God in this world that we live in, First Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth," or makes alive, "gives to life all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his times he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power and everlasting. Amen." Let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank you for this scripture we'll look at here tonight. Pray you guide our thoughts, and Lord, help me to communicate your word clearly. And Father, I pray that you bring glory to you and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, thank you for being a faithful God. And Lord, your word is true. Give us ears to hear, a heart to perceive, and feet to put into practice what you have taught us and showed us. Lord, help me honor your Son and your word here tonight to bring glory to your holy and righteous name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, Timothy was Paul's son in the faith, and as Timothy was kind of, Paul sensed that his time was drawing close to the end, and he knew that he has fought a good faith, he has kept the faith, and he was trying to pass on to Timothy the things that he needed to be a man of God. And in verse 11, "But thou, O man of God," and I hope that we all see ourselves as a man and woman of God, that we belong to him, that we are those that know him and love him and follow after him, that we are the sons and daughters of Almighty God, that we want to have that testimony that we're a man of God. Now, in verse 11, "But thou," and anytime you see "but thou," or why is that the word there, "but," you back up a little bit, and all through 1 Timothy right here, in this chapter here, there are certain people, and this is kind of their lifestyles, those the worldly people, those that knew not God, those that weren't saved. This is the exact opposite of what Timothy was in verse 11, being a man of God. In verse 3, this is the exact opposite of what we should be. Look at verse 3. "If any man teach otherwise, it consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ." A true believer, what does they do? They consent to. They believe, they follow. The unregenerate, unbelieving, worldly person, they're not going to listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to consent to them. They're not going to follow them. And so, as Paul is speaking to Timothy, being a man of God, he's not like these people over here that he spoke about. The worldly, the unsubmissive, those that will not consent to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine. Now, what's another word for doctrine? Is that doctrine a good word or bad word? It's a good word. People play it down, but what does doctrine mean?
Teaching.
The teaching. It's simply teaching. And when you get into the teaching of Scripture, that is the doctrine. Scripture is full of doctrine, the teachings of God. Somebody said, "Doctrine divide, love unites." What's wrong with that statement? Doctrine divides, love unites. What's wrong with that statement?
It doesn't need to be
divided. It doesn't need to be because God's word is not bad doctrine. It's good doctrine. It teaches us how to unite. How do you not unite if you don't have the word of God? So that doctrine is there. And people minimize the teachings of Scripture because they don't want to follow it. But those that want to follow it, like Timothy, being a man of God, we don't want to be like these people that won't consent to good doctrine, which is according to godliness. Now, ungodly people, do they twist the Scriptures?
Yes.
Absolutely, they twist the Scriptures. Yes, they twist the scriptures to their own destruction, but they, in other words, if good doctrine's according to godliness and they don't want godliness, they're going to end up with bad doctrine because they don't follow the doctrines of scripture. So a person like that, that doesn't want good doctrine, doesn't want to be according to godliness, that doesn't want to consent, there's three words in verse 4 that give us a reason why somebody's like that. What's the first three words in verse 4? He is what? Proud. Can you teach a proud person something from the Word of God that's good doctrine? If they have a humble heart to hear. But if they're proud, a proud person says, I know it what? All. I know it all. You know, can't teach me anything. And sometimes they know they don't know what they should know, but because they don't know what they should know, they act like they do know, only to show that they really don't know. He is proud because they don't have an ear to hear. A proud person, they won't hear. And Paul goes on to say, this person, verse 3, he's proud. Okay. Knowing nothing. Now, a proud person thinks he knows what? Everything. But Paul says they know nothing. I remember D. James Kennedy saying this years ago. And sometimes he'd debate with atheists. He debates with all kinds of unbelievers, skeptics. And he was talking to somebody one time. And this is what he'd do to them. If he ran into somebody that was proud and thought they knew everything, he would ask them, do you know what the main teaching of Scripture is? Have you ever studied and do you understand what the thread of Scripture, all through Scripture, what the main teaching of Scripture is? And if they think you know everything and you just ask them a question about something they don't know, you kind of put them in a corner because, of course, he knew they didn't know the Scriptures, and so they would be kind of like, oh, I'm not sure what it is. Then he would say, it's redemption through the blood of Christ from Genesis 3:15 all the way through Revelation, how Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. But some people are so proud, they know nothing, and this is how they go about their life. In verse 4, they are obsessed with disputes, but doting about questions and strife of words. They like to argue. Now, if they can get you in an argument, what are they hoping to do if they get you in an argument? They're hoping they will what? Win the argument to show how smart they are, to show how good they are. All these things are what a man of God is not. We don't about questions, strife of words, envy and strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. They don't get it. They can't understand it. Supposing that gain is godliness from such. Now, what's the answer for it sometimes when you run into those kind of people? Withdraw thyself. You say what you need to say, but at some point, you can't be arguing with people who already have the answers and they don't want to listen to what God's word have to say. Paul encourages Timothy, godliness with contentment is great what? Gain. Godliness with contentment. So, thou, O man of God, godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world. We certainly should carry nothing out. Having food and raiment therewith, let us be what? In verse 8, content. That's what a man of God is. They're content. But thou, O man of God. Well, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money, not money, but the love of money, covetousness, is the root of all evil. While some have coveted after and have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's kind of the backdrop. Timothy, these are what you should not be, these type of people. Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, now, we want to be a man and woman of God. Flee these what? Things. What we just looked at here in preceding verses here. Don't be a lover of money. Don't be proud. Don't be one given to disputes and evil surmisings and all these things. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. So in the Christian life, there's things to put off and there's things to put on. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. Now, This is what's behind us. We're fleeing those things. What's before us? Follow after what? Righteousness. Give me a definition of righteousness. If somebody's a righteous person, what is righteousness if they're righteous? Okay, that's imputed to us. Yes, the righteousness of Christ.
Is it holy and pure?
Okay, holy and pure. Okay. Righteousness is doing the right thing. In other words, the way the Christian should live, it's the right way of doing things. You're doing right. You're living a righteous life. In other words, between right and wrong, you choose the right. That's being a righteous person. You follow after the righteousness of God. Righteousness is something that is a standard that we seek to uphold by God's revelation to us through the good doctrine he gives to us. Follow after righteousness. This is something we're pursuing. We want to be righteous in our life. Godliness is being godlike. What is God like? What is Christ like? What is our Heavenly Father like? What is the Son like? We want to be like him. We want to reflect him to others. When a goldsmith is taking the dross off the gold, he heats it up, the dross impurities come to the surface. How do we know when the gold's pure? When he sees his reflection. How do we know when we're pure and when we're godlike? We can see God's image in our life, so to speak. We reflect him to other people. And so that godliness is something we want to mirror the image of Christ. So thou, O man of God, to be a man of God, we flee things. We put off the old. We don't live a proud life. We don't live those kind of ways. We put those off. We follow after righteousness, doing the right thing, godliness, being like God, and the life of faith. Now, faith is, there's saving faith and there's living faith. Saving faith is, I commit my life to God, I have that saving faith. Living faith is what I live day by day, how I live for God in Christ Jesus. My living faith, that I have that faith and love flowing through me, the patience and the meekness, that faith that God wants us to have. Did Abraham have a living faith? He had faith in the righteousness of God, but did he have a living faith? When God told him to sacrifice Isaac, did he put his faith into action? Okay, what did he tell his servants when he was going up to Mount Moriah? We will return. That is faith speaking. He had that living faith that was flowing through him. That godliness, the faith, the love, the bow, O man of God, follow after these things. I want to do right. I want to be right and be godly. I want to have the faith that energizes my Christian life, that I believe God and I trust God. I live by faith. I have the love, the patience, and the meekness. Is it easy to love those that love you? That's easy. Is it easy to love those that don't love you? Is that hard? It is hard. Did Christ love the world? He did. When he hung on the cross, he said to those that nailed him to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that love speaking? That is love speaking. And for a man of God, he's going to have that type of love for the people, not just the ones that do him good, but he's going to love the unlovely and the patience with people. Now, God is patient with us. Do sometimes people push your patience? You ever been on the phone trying to get a bill paid or something and they keep dropping you into the cyber world where you can't get through and you just, and then you wait for a half hour and then you hear the phone go, and they hang up on you and you just waited a half hour for nothing. But patience, we need that in our Christian life. Meekness is strength under control. With all those things in verse 11, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Okay. This good fight of faith that we're in, There's all kinds of people there in 1 Timothy 6. The proud people, the debating people, those at strife and envying, perverse disputing of men, men that have corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, all these things. We as believers, we fight the good fight of faith. Is your faith going to be tempted as a believer? It's going to be tempted. It's going to be tempted. And in these last days, is it getting harder or easier for the Christian to live in this world? It's getting harder. And we're going to have to fight that good fight of faith. How about some of these school boards that are trying to put all this transgender stuff in for elementary school children? And you're a parent. What are you going to do? Just roll with the punches? Or are you going to go to the school board meeting and say, hey, this is not good for these kids? And yes.
And they wouldn't tell her. She finally, you know, she just kept going after them. And finally, the school board, they said, okay, we're going to sue you. Mm. I forget how many millions or thousands of dollars they want, but all she wants is some answers as to what they're going to be teaching.
Right. But see, that's a good fight of faith Christians need to fight, because Satan wants to corrupt. Like here he says, men of corrupt minds destitute of the truth. Are there people out there teaching stuff that they should not teach? Totally corrupt. What do we do as believers? We fight the good fight of faith. Now, how long do we fight? Till the Lord what? Returns or calls us home. That's it. That's when we enter into our rest. We fight the good fight of faith until that appears. And the battlegrounds are being drawn here between believers. And it's getting to the point that, this whole COVID thing, they were shutting churches down in Canada and California, but they want to silence us as believers, and we need to fight the good fight of faith. Now, as we fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. As we fight the good fight of faith for God and do the right thing, what's our end goal? Eternal life. That is where it's all heading. People of corrupt minds, guess what they think? Supposing that gain is godliness. In other words, they're just living for this world. They're just thinking, whatever riches I can get, whatever money I can get, whatever mansions I can get, whatever I can accumulate for the kingdom person, the kingdom woman, the kingdom man, godliness with contentment is great gain. They're not focused on how many things they can gain in this world. They're focused on how many people can I bring to God's kingdom. They're focused on following after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, all these qualities that define a man or woman of God. And we fight that good fight of faith because Satan goes about as a roaring lion, what? Seeking whom he may what? Devour. He wants to tear us up. He wants to tear us up. And we need to lay hold of eternal life. Wherefore, thou art also what? Called. Is that a high calling? If God calls you into his service, is that a high calling? He has called us into a high calling, into his service, that we can fight the good fight of faith, that we can profess a good profession among many witnesses. Now, when Bob gave witness to that guy outside, when Linda witnessed to that guy outside, when Nancy witnessed to that lady yesterday, when Marlon and I were giving out tracts, did God see everything we did there? Did God see that? He did. He saw that. And that good profession among many witnesses, God is the ultimate witness. I mean, we share our Christian life one with another, but God sees everything. And now, it's tough to be a good witness. It's tough to fight the good fight of faith. But what does Paul make reference to in verse 13? I charge thee in the sight of God, who quickens or gives to life all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. That good confession, Jesus Christ, when Pilate spoke to Jesus, he asked him, "Art thou a king?" And how did Jesus answer? He said, "Thou sayest." And they had this dialogue going back. But at the end of that dialogue, what did Pontius Pilate wanted to do but couldn't do? He wanted to what?
Let him go.
He knew he was an innocent man. And Jesus Christ, now, did they capture him or did he let himself go to the cross?
He let himself go.
He willingly went. That is a good confession of faith before Pontius Pilate. He witnessed everything our Lord Jesus Christ went through. Now, Jesus went to the cross for our sins. Jesus could have called 12 legions of angels if he wanted to, but he didn't. Now, if Jesus did all that for you and for me, and Jesus says to us, "I want you to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life, that eternal goal," is that too much to ask to be a soldier of the cross? Is that too much to ask all that he's done for us? Because in verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot. In other words, we don't want to be spotted by the world. We don't want to live a worldly life. We don't want to go down that road of compromise. We want to, without spot, unrebukable, nobody can blame us until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living this life. We got it. We're heading toward that. We're fighting that good fight of faith, which in his times he shall show, who is that blessed and only potentate. Now, what's a potentate? What's a potentate? A sovereign ruler. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the unbelieving crowd in verses 4 and 5, those of corrupt minds, they're proud. They think they got all the answers. And they want to dispute and all these kind of things, strife and railings, evil surmising. What are they going to say when they stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? What are they going to say then? They're not going to say anything. They're going to have nothing to say. Do you remember in one of his parables, the man that came into the wedding feast, he didn't have a garment on? And the king asked him, "Sir, how did you come in without your garment, your wedding garment?" And what was his response? The scripture says he was what? Speechless. He didn't have anything to say. And when these people end up that are in verses 4 and 5 before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they're going to be speechless. Who hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto. He's God Almighty, that no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So as we fight the good fight of faith, we're going to see our Lord Jesus one day. He went to the cross there in verse 13, that good confession, that he lived his life completely in the will of God. When he was in the garden, he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And that's what our Lord Jesus did for us. So, back to verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, but thou, O woman of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith." And that's what God calls us to. And as Paul, as he knew God was calling him home soon, he wanted to say to Timothy, "Timothy, this is what I want you to do." And he was encouraging him to be strong in the faith. We need soldiers of the cross here who will fight the good fight of faith. Well, let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what we've looked at here tonight. And Father, bless us as your people. And Father, may we fight the good fight of faith and be strong in our faith, Lord, that we follow after these things. And Lord, there's a lot of worldly and corrupt minds out there that do not think after the scriptures nor the word of God. But we as your people know that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords shall appear one day. And when he does, we shall be thankful that we aligned ourselves with the scriptures and the teachings of the Word of God. We have been strong in our faith, and we have fought for righteousness and these things that Paul encouraged Timothy to do. So help us toward this end, Father, to be strong, to be faithful, to be fruitful, to be fervent in spirit for you, knowing that one day we shall stand before thee. And Lord, we want to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." So help us toward this end to be those men and women of God who will fight the good fight of faith and resist the corruptness that's in this world and honor the true and living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.